in. That is the Rooter Man Can. Caller and guest hotline. 800-998-1003. Go check them out. RooterManCan.com if you need any plumbing services to take care of you. Indeed, it is Friday. Second day, full day of March Madness. I hope you don't need to go somewhere where somebody that has a bracket needs to have any services for you. Because they're not paying attention. I'm just telling you now. Apparently, the game being held in Brooklyn's not going well. Corey Glore just tweeted that they should switch out the rims in Brooklyn for peach baskets in the second half. That's probably not good. Right? That takes place there. Northwestern 56, Florida Atlantic 50, 4:08 to play in the second. Colgate, for 14 seed, taking on Baylor, a 3 seed, trail 59-42, 14-22 in the second, 10:59 in the first half. San Diego State, a 5 seed, UAB, a 12 seed. And it's San Diego State leading 21-13, 16 minutes in the first half. Marquette 8, Western Kentucky 5. Marquette a 2 seed, Western Kentucky a 15 seed. Coming up at 1:45, Stetson in UConn. That's on CBS. True TV, 11 seed in New Mexico, taking on the 6 seed Clemson at 2:10. At 3:15, 13 seed Yale, taking on the 4 seed Auburn Tigers at 3:30. It's Colorado and Florida. Buffalo is a 10 seed. The Gators a 7 seed. Speaking of the Gators, national championship rematch on the diamond in Baton Rouge. We spoke with Chris Blair, bottom of last hour. So get ready for that game. 7 o'clock is the first pitch tonight, 6 tomorrow. And then at 5:50, the 9th seed Texas A&M taking on an 8th seed Nebraska team at 5:50. That's on TNT. CBS, Vermont, and Duke. 13 seed Vermont, 4th seed Duke, 6:10 on CBS. The Grambling State Tigers from Louisiana take on the number one overall seed Purdue. That's at 6:25 on TBS. That's a 1:16 matchup. And 4th seed Alabama taking on Charleston at 6:35 on True TV. TNT tonight at 8:20. The 1 seed Houston taking on Longwood. It's a 1:16 matchup. Another 5:12 matchup. Wisconsin, the 5 seed here against James Madison. 8:40 p.m. on CBS. At 8:55 on TBS, an 8-9 matchup. Utah State 8, TCU 9. And the last game tonight, St. Mary's, a 5 seed. Grand Canyon, a 12 seed. An 8:12-5 matchup there. We'll hear from Leo Haggerty coming up here at 1:15. And at 1:30, Kenny Farrell has decided to chime in. We'll talk a little soccer here as well. The U.S., they're about to be knocked out of their tournament, the men's national team. Literally the last play of them. I know there was extra time and in that, but it was. You'll hear it. They tied at 1-1, a couple of own goals. Long story short, they do win 3-1. So we will see what, there it is. So, it just broke in. If you're watching the game, you saw it. But CBS News broke in the middle of the game as the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, just released a video saying she has been diagnosed with cancer. That's where she's been. She's being treated for that. If you follow the royals and stuff, all kinds of speculation has been they haven't been seeing her. Was that a body double, Photoshop face, all that stuff. Anyway, sad news there. I haven't heard it, but I saw the video and it's been posted out there as well. But she's undergoing treatment for cancer. And look, having an uncle literally going through the last stages, it's you never want to hear that word. So passing that along. 800-998-1003 on the Rooterman caller and guest line. Hour 2, Chris's Pavings is the sponsor. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete pouring contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it all. 985-960-2131. It's Chris's Pavings, and it was cool to hear Chef Scotty yesterday said they've used them as well. My driveway is awful. It's leaning. My car is leaning. They got cracks everywhere. Chris, help me out, bud. Help me out. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, we have touched on and spoken about today's lead. If you missed it, we'll recap it again.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, so Pelicans taking on the Magic yesterday, and, well, the graph kind of tells you how it went.
Zion, coast to coast, drives, missed the layup.
Oh, you're kidding
and
me.
And again, it ain't his night,
you
folks.
Have got to be kidding me.
He just wedged a layup.
You have got to be kidding me.
Can't make it up. Can't make that stuff up.
Now, no doubt, the Magic defense.
Bump, throw it up, no. They are everywhere. It's like they have seven guys on the floor right now.
Well, you heard Willie Green say it. They are long and athletic.
So you add that, and then you add a team that was a half game out of the four seed. And look, it's a resurgence as well. I don't have a number one pick, Paolo Banchero and all of that. But they're trying to show what they can do. And they're trying to battle for the four seed and host a first round. So there was an element of this.
Orlando is playing this with a little more intensity right now than New Orleans is.
No lies told, my friend. Cosign. I mean, they look like there's some urgency. And the Pelicans almost look like they're kind of smelling themselves and feeling good. I don't know of another way to say it. They've got a lot more aggression. They've been more of an attack team. And they seem to be playing like this is our playoff life. Whereas the Pels kind of look like, well, we're in decent position. We got 14 more.
Well, the Pels have to pick it up. Not only do they take on the Heat tonight, but obviously first and foremost, 9-minute mark of the third quarter, Brandon Ingram goes down. And we have learned today, per the team, an MRI revealed a bone contusion. He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Essentially, he will miss tonight, Sunday. That's two games. Add the 6-game homestand. He's going to miss 8 minimum. Right? Now, again, let's say he comes back, but I'm just going by what they've done. They've never said that a player is being reevaluated at this time, and he comes back before then. So I would expect the bare minimum he's getting the 2 weeks off, unless, again, he does feel better and he's practicing and he's shooting and he's running and he feels great. But if they wait the 2 weeks to reevaluate him, that is April 5th. That is against the Spurs. That is the final home game of the 6-game homestand. What's after that? Well, that is a Friday. So 2 days later, you're at the Suns. 2 days later, at the Trailblazers. 2 days later, at the Kings. The next night, at the Warriors. Fly home and face the Lakers on Sunday, April 14th. That's it. That's the season moving forward. Hopefully you'll have them for a part of that road trip. Realistically, like, I don't think they're going to reevaluate him and say, he's playing tonight. He could. He could. But my guess is they reevaluate, see where he's at, and then, you know, is there a day or two conditioning? Do they say, hey, we'll see him maybe on that road trip? I don't know. I don't know how he is. But you cross your fingers. You hope that he does come back, but you are absolutely breathing a sigh of relief this morning because the way it looked, let's be honest, most of us probably thought, oh no, he just tore his knee. And again, you saw it hyperextend, you saw the replay, and you couldn't have felt good watching him go down. Head coach Willie Green.
It's extremely difficult to see him go down. Our prayers will be going up tonight, and you know, hopefully we get some good news back.
And it was, again, like I said, for me, good news in that it wasn't structural. There's no surgery required. Hopefully he's back within the next 2 to 3 weeks, right? Even if it's 4, it's still not the start of the playoffs. First round, game one action is Saturday the 20th or Sunday the 21st. So that's 4 weeks, okay? That's why it's so important for this team to pull it together. Hold on, get that 6 seed. If you have to do the play-in, those are that's Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, however that is, right? Those play-ins. So you want to get 6 or higher because then you don't play until the following weekend. So that's some extra time to rest and heal. Trey Murphy?
Obviously, like, it hurts because, you know, you've been through there. You've been there, and you obviously hope there's nothing wrong with him. And, you know, he's been a big help for me in my career, my progression, my whole maturation process. And so, you know, just seeing him go down like that definitely hurts a lot. So definitely just pray for him.
Yeah, okay. So that it kind of gives you an idea on that. C.J. McCollum on watching B.I. go down.
Messed up the mood. The whole mood is not great. We're praying for him, hoping for the best. You know, B.I. is a really good human being, obviously a great basketball player, but solid human being, loves the game, and we all want what's best for him, and obviously what's best for our team, so we're hoping for the best.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll go to Brian. And we'll see if Leo Haggerty can join us here as well. Bottom of the hour, Kenny Farrell, Jeff Boggs coming up at 1:45. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Brian, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing good, Deacon. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. What you got for us today?
I was relieved to hear that Brandon Ingram's injury was not as worse off than when we once thought. That's good. I mean, at least 2 weeks evaluation. That at least is a little bit of a relief. You'd be able to come back this season, hopefully. But there were three things I took from that loss yesterday that really stuck out to me. One was only attempting 23 pointers. That to me is that's unacceptable in today's NBA. I don't understand when this happened before in the Cleveland Cavaliers loss, where they only attempted 23, and when teams get physical with them, they stop attempting the three ball.
So I'm glad you brought that up because look, I'm probably was you. I'm yelling. I'm like, you got 2 3-point shooters on the bench, like. You're 2 of 8 at halftime. Like, you got to do something to do that. And I, again, the game is within the game. What were they doing? I'm going to play Willie Green, CJ, and Trey on that. Today we can continue our conversation, okay? Here's what he had to say.
We have to create 3-point opportunities for each other. And this is one of their strengths defensively. They try to take away threes. We know it. Every time the ball goes from side to side, we got quality looks. But 23s is not enough.
Here's what Trey said on it.
I mean, really, it's just continuing to move the ball and continuing to just be effective in that, run our offense with pace. If we don't run it with pace, then we're not able to create advantages, and so that'd be the biggest thing.
And finally, CJ McCollum.
We got to get stops, get out in transition. It's easy to get threes in transition. They're doubling down on Z, loading up, boxing elbows. We got to get downhill and try to get some driving kicks, but I think it just starts with getting stops. Easiest to get transition, 3-pointers.
All right. So that's what those three said. Now continue.
Now, yes, I understand, like, the guy gets stopped. Mm-hmm. I understand the guy gets stopped, but, I mean, you got to be able to score. Because if you're not, if you're stopping but you're not scoring, that defeats the purpose. You only scored 102 points. And in your last game versus last loss, you only scored 95 points. So I'm trying to figure out, sometimes your offense can be your best defense. When you're shooting the ball, you're putting pressure on the other teams to score. And I think if you put in, I mean, I know that like Matt Ryan and Jordan Hawkins are not great defensive players, but they provide a presence. They spread the floor out more for at least Zion to be one-on-one with somebody and having to feel like he's crowded like in the lane. And because Von Wagner is waiting for him to take a charge. Every single time he's driving to the basket, he's waiting for him. And that's my thing, and I don't understand that. I'd also love to see Zion attempt a couple of 3-pointers. It doesn't have to be 5 attempts. It could be just 2 or 3 of them a game. Just to make the defense have to think about it, you know, not being sagging off on it.
Brian, I'm not a coach. I like to play one on my talk show, and Graf tells me to shut up during the game and don't text him. But, look, it's definitely a philosophical thing, right, where this is a defensive-minded coach. They're one of the top defending teams in the NBA. This lineup that they had yesterday, and they've had, you know, it works. My only counter argument or my counterpoint would be when Najee shoots the ball well, when Jose hits a shot, fine. Okay. You got your rebounding, your defense, your energy. Yeah, that's fine. But I don't think many teams in the NBA, at least I wouldn't, probably put on my, you know, scouting report game plan, when Najee and Jose get the ball on the wings or in the corner, run out and contest. I'm going to live with them to make it. They make it great. They're not known as three-point shooters. They're not known as shooters. So what I'm saying, Brian, is it helps my defense when it's points. Like, I'm looking at that lineup yesterday. It's Zion and 3 to 4 guys that may or may not make a shot. More often than not, don't. So if I'm a defender, my heels are probably going to be on the elbow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm absolutely able to do right. The wall, and he's not going to penetrate. And Zion's doing the right play. He drives and kicks, but I will live with that. If I had Jordan Hawkins and Matt Ryan out there, I may live with that for a sec until they start making it. And more often than not, I'm not saying that they're going to make more. They may take 5 shots and miss them all. But if we're shooting in, if I'm going to a gym and those 4 players are shooting 3s, I'm probably going to bet that Matt Ryan and Jordan Hawkins make more 3s than Jose and Najee. Not ripping them, it's just not their game. So if I'm going to do a lineup that has Zion running the point against a physical, tall team, I probably want to put as much shooting as possible around him. And especially if I'm sitting there at the halftime locker room and I'm going, I'm 2 of 8 from distance. 2 of 8. And their bench is knocking down threes. Like, I just, it may not be what I do every game. And that's always been my critique of Coach Green. Coach the game in front of you. And this is before B.I. got injured, but it's even more when B.I. got injured. Like, I need scoring. I need points. You got it down the 9. You got it down. Like, I understand the principles of defense, but I'm going to say this. That team is not one of the best three-point shooting teams, but they are one of the top defending teams, and some of their shots went in. And I'm just saying, I would rather go with a player that more often than not, the opportunity or chances a 3 goes down than not. You know? That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, I agree with you completely. Najee and Jose give great energy off the boat, out the bench, but it's just that they're not reliable 3-point shooters. You need those two guys. To need 3-point shooters in today's NBA. You need that. And also one more thing, I know that on the defensive side, Jonas is a defensive liability. Yes, but he needs to be a presence in the post, scoring just like you know. I would love to see, you know, the offense kind of run through him a little bit more. You know, get him more involved in the game. I feel like he's not engaged as much as he used to be. If you get him engaged, more often than not, the Pelicans are going to win the game. If he's engaged in scoring. And I don't understand, I know he's not the best defender, but get him involved in the offensive side of the ball.
To your point, Shamit Dua. Pretty much every other tweet on game night says the same thing. He's saying it tonight about the Heat game. Have Jonas apply pressure to the other guys by work going the offense through him and having, you know, maybe apply pressure by creating fouls on the other sides, get rebounds, things of that nature. So, look, it's a philosophical thing, man. It's a philosophical thing. Coach Green has told you. I mean, it's March 22nd. He's told you he would rather ride or die.
Right.
With Jose and Najee,
right.
than Jordan Hawkins and Matt Ryan or anyone else. He's told you, anytime they play athletic, big physical teams, he's going to go without Jonas. I would say use it as a strength. I would say use 3-point shooting. I'm not the coach.
Right. And then he's gotten, you know, he's won so many straight games, so it's not like it's not working.
Right.
It's working.
Exactly.
But
that's the problem, right?
But against better teams, if he starts seeing this more often, I hope that he kind of says, okay, I got to go put in a more offensive lineup. Because the last 2 games against pretty good teams, they have done that to him. And I'm hoping he kind of sees that as a pattern and kind of, okay, I have to make adjustments. But I don't know, hopefully.
That's a good point. And because, look, I was saying that earlier this morning. We were doing the podcast together. I, I, I think one of the good things about the fact that pretty much all these games are playoff games, you're seeing what teams are going to try to do to stop Zion. Because that's where it starts, right? That is on the top of the scouting report. We got to stop that guy. So you are seeing a team that's battling for fourth. You are seeing a team that went to the finals last year tonight. You are seeing the Celtics coming up next weekend. You are seeing the Suns, a team that's battling you for a spot. You are seeing OKC, a team that's topped in the first right now. How, over the next five games, are these teams going to play him? Because it's not going to change much come the postseason. You pretty much would have gotten every look. You pretty much would have gotten as physical as you can. You're going to see it. He's going to get a real test and taste, right? Even Monty Williams with the Pistons, right, man, they're going to play you hard. So you're going to get that. And to your point, I want the team to just be like, okay, this works. This doesn't work. Maybe just try. I don't know. But I'm with you. Just coach the game in front of you. You know, some days they got it, great. Then you have the best of both worlds. The energy, the defensive nature, the knife, the lobs, awesome. And on some nights when they don't, you know what? I keep using the analogy of football. I come into the game thinking this team's going to pass, and all of a sudden they're running the ball. Then I need to put in a backer, right? I need to drop down the safety. Like, you make that adjustment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's how I look at it. If they're filling in the box, you know, and they try to stop the run, well, then I'm going to use play action. And it might not be what I do every year. It may not be my thing. That game, that minute, what can you do? Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying, man. When you're not getting those looks and you're not getting the shots up, it's just hard for me to look at that bench, and I got two guys that literally do nothing but shoot threes. I mean, I'm like,
immediately when they come off the bench, they're scoring, and that's my thing. It puts pressure on the defense. When you're scoring, it puts pressure on the defense. On the other team, we have to score. We have to keep up with them, and that's what the Warriors did for so many years. That's what Boston's doing. They're scoring. The defenses have to keep up. Teams have to keep up with them. The better team.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, but I mean, but hopefully these last two games, and he's great at analyzing and looking at the data. So hopefully he sees this, or it's just a one off, and hopefully if he sees it, then he makes the change. Because they've done such a great job of adjusting in this season. So,
yep, no worries. Let's see what takes place, man. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the phone call, man. Good call.
Thanks, yep. D-Cat. See you later.
Yeah, for sure. Take care. 58-58 into overtime we go. Florida Atlantic and Northwestern now in overtime. Northwestern gets the first bucket. They got the ball. They lead it 60-58. We'll keep you posted on that. When we come back, Kenny Farrell will talk a little soccer. Ooh, Wildcats get another bucket, 62-58. Looking for a win. We're going to get into the second round. As always, we appreciate you tuning us in to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Battery.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
That's why we have him on. I'm doing NBA. Got college basketball going on. The U.S. men's national soccer team taking on Jamaica. And Coach Kenny Farrell of the New Orleans Jester, sir, your text will be back and forth. I'm like, uh-oh, they're down 1-0. It's the 90th minute.
More chance. Pulisic will send it in. Into that near post. It comes through. And there's the equalizing goal. The U.S. have saved themselves in this Nations League at the death.
At the death. I love the phrase. What does at the death mean, Coach?
I missed that piece. Say that again.
At the death. At the death. What does that phrase mean?
At the death, yeah. At the death, yeah. At the end of the game. It's the last kick of the game of regular time. And to be fair, if the USA had not have equalized with the last touch of the game, well, actually, it was an own goal.
Right.
It was over for them. But it took an extra time. So at the death, it was an unbelievable finish. to be honest with you, that, you know, from that point, I mean, the United States were chasing the game, obviously, going down 1-0 in the first 30 seconds. You got to give Jamaica credit for the amount of discipline they showed, because they defended well, and even though there was chances at both ends, they weren't great chances, and they held it out until the 96th minute, and if they hadn't have been trying to time waste throughout the game, they might have walked away with the win. But the referee actually added time on to time added on after the final whistle, and that's when the United States scored. And of course, it's different when you're chasing the game, because it does allow, it's a semi-final and it's a knockout game, that, you know, playing the final on Sunday. So when you go 1-0 that early, then you defend it. It's difficult to break down. And as I said, you know, it just went the whole way to the last year of the game to tie it up. And then, of course, going into extra time, the depth of the United States squad, and then Jamaica either trying to play for a penalty shootout or to win the game, they would have to change their tactics. And that's when the United States just bowled them over in extra time and, you know, scored two great goals.
Yeah, that second one was something else here as well, Coach, as I have it here.
Seems to win it well. And in behind again for Wright, who couldn't control this time. On the turn, Haji Wright puts this one to bed.
Dude, Haji Wright with the spin and the kick. How good is he right now? Though, look, a lot of people talk about Pulisic and stuff. Gio, seeing him in there as well. Yeah. We got some guys here, right? And I feel like this week, too, I was watching teams over there in Premier. They were trying to get some transfers. How many members of the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team are actually playing in Europe right now?
Most of the starting team are playing there. There's a couple of players that play in the MLS. But, you know, we've spoken about this for years, and it's an unfortunate situation for the national team where we have to have them playing in Germany and England and, you know, even Turkey and other places and Italy so that they come back and be the best that they can be, because they're playing against the best every week.
But that's my point, though, right? I mean, the fact that they're playing over there means they're good. I mean, they're not going to grab them if they're not good.
Yeah, well, Haji Wright, his first year in England is this year. He's been around for a while. He played for the New York Cosmos a few times back in the day before that league folded, and then ended up in Germany and Turkey. But he's in England now, and I was telling you last week about the FA Cup final, semi-final. The minnow team in that was Coventry City, and they've gone to the semi-final now, and he's a big part of that. He's making a claim for that spot up front, and if he can keep scoring goals, he's going to get it. And then when you look at Reyna, you know, who had his troubles in the World Cup, but he came in and was very significant in the game, very significant. He's back in the squad. He's playing. You know, he's got over his, you know, troubles with the coach and all that kind of stuff. And he had actually had both assists on the goals, so that's really important. So this kind of pressure on starting players is only good for the national team. It is very good for us that we did tie it up and then go on to win it in extra time. You know, the press stays with you, the fans stay with you, and you keep, I mean, I think the unbeaten run for the United States men's national team on U.S. soil is about 30 to 35 games. So it has become a bit of a fortress for us in the United States. We need to keep it that way.
What else do you take from that game yesterday? Because obviously, look, now they're playing the final on Sunday. And I've asked you this as you've been joining us once a week here to get you ready, not only for the Jesters, but you mentioned the next couple of years, soccer is going to be pretty pretty prevalent here in the U.S. But why is it key for them to win this thing on Sunday?
Well, I think it's momentum. And it's you want to be the champ. You want to be the – you set a standard for yourself that even when things are not going well for you, that you know how to win, that you can win games. It's the belief. It's an intangible. And they're starting to believe that. As I told you before, I've been around this squad, and there's a belief in the squad, and there's a compactness and tightness in the mental approach to the game that even when you're overmatched, which they weren't yesterday, they think they can win. They don't think there's a game they cannot win. That's a great mental place to be. And great teams win games in the last minute when everything's against them. And they keep it going, and you don't see them die off and just say, okay, we're going to lose this one. They keep going, and I just think it's great for American soccer that's the kind of mentality that the team has. And now they're going on American soil again to play in the final of the CONCACAF Nations League, which is all the teams from this region of the world.
Sure.
And hopefully to bring home that trophy and step it up with pressure on all positions going into the Copa America. And again, it's all about a build-up to the World Cup in 26. for that mentality. The good thing about the game, Gus, was we spoke about the last World Cup years ago. We had to get the center backs right. We had to get a goalkeeper, stay in games, don't go behind. Well, we've got that. But what we have now is maturing players that are playing in high-level leagues that can be very creative players going forward. And Pulisic is, you know, taking it on his shoulders as well. We spoke about him for years as well. And even though I prefer to see him play centrally, he played on the left yesterday. He's a very dangerous player when he's on his game, and now you've got pressure on all positions for starting places. Reina's coming into his own. Weah is going to be, I think, very significant going forward. So now you have these attacking creative players along with the ability to defend against very good teams, that I think we're in a good place. I think we're in a good place right now.
So we'll look at that here and see what takes place here. What do you think is the key on Sunday for them to pull out the win? Faster start?
Oh, well, again, how many times have we played Mexico recently?
Yeah.
And there's just a pure hatred between the teams. So it's really mental focus, not getting involved in brawls. And I think there might be a few dust-ups, as there has been in the past.
Right.
I think it's to look past that and stay focused on the mission. At the early part of the game, you don't want to see them go down a goal. They need to be very focused from the start, keep the game tight. I think that they will take over the game. My guess is that they'll be tight at the beginning, checking each other out. And I'd like to see the U.S. Open and allow that creativity that they're capable of showing to flow and hopefully bring home the game. It's anybody's game, because I suppose it's in soccer, when you have that rivalry and that what is called the derby game, and you have that rivalry and that pure hatred between the teams, it can go either way. And it's really down to your mental toughness and discipline. You know the players that they've got. We know the players that we've got. The coach will know the tactics. He knows how they play. They know how we play.
Right.
The big significant factor will be when you get your chances, take them. And then your complete mental approach to the game has to be so disciplined and anticipate late tackles, bad refereeing calls, not get involved in any of that stuff.
I love how you threw that in there. You're already expecting bad refereeing calls, aren't you?
You better believe it. If I was taking a bet, I wouldn't bet on the score. I'd bet on the bad refereeing calls.
Here's what I love about it, too. It's 8:15 Central Time, huh? 8:15 yeah. Central Time. So we got some time here. It'll be on Paramount Plus if you have that. So you can check it out.
I think it's also on Univision.
Yes, Univision and Paramount Plus. So if you don't have Paramount Plus, Univision will have that there as well. Yeah. Where is it getting played at? I'm trying to look for it right now.
Arlington, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Cowboys home, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, needless to say, it'll be packed. It will not be like the 10 people that they showed at the start of the game yesterday.
No. And you know what? I went to the last game in Arizona when they played. I told you about that. When USA played Mexico earlier last year. And it's like a home game for Mexico. I don't know what it's going to be like on Saturday. Hopefully it's 50-50. But they come out, the Mexican fans come out, and they come out in their colors, and they're very loud. They get behind their team. So I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be a great game. And it'll be very significant if the U.S. win it, because they have got dominance over Mexico right now.
Right.
And it'd be nice to stay in that place. And, of course, that comes down to the discipline, the mental approach, and thinking you can beat anybody that you play against at any time.
Look, and you keep saying, any time you can play and win for a championship, a trophy, things that nature, it helps you build towards the World Cup, right? You said that going into last World Cup on Sunday. It's essentially the last time these two teams, when I say full strength, look with their best players, will play before the Olympics. I almost kind of forgot. You have the Olympics coming up this summer.
That's right. That's right. And I don't think the squad's been picked for that yet, but it'll be interesting to see what players they use in that, because it's a great chance. Obviously, you want to win it, but it's a great chance to look at players that you might want to see for the future.
Mm.
But going back to the other word that you were talking about, knowing how to win, feeling what it's like to win, and with all your preparation, that is often when it comes to very tight teams around the world. You come down to Brazil, they never think they're going to lose. Argentina never think they're going to lose. You know, these teams know how to get it done, and that mentality that we need to get into the USA national team is. I mean, it speaks for itself. We kept going until the 96th. I mean, the game was over when the equalizer happened, but all the pressure that was on that team. And they pulled it out. And I think that's the biggest intangible right there for success for us. I think the coach knows what he's doing. The players, he knows the players believe in each other, and you just got to keep working on that mental approach.
Hey, Coach Kenny Farrell, man, anything I need to be paying attention to over there in Europe? Any games of the week?
The only thing, well, it's an international break, so the biggest game this weekend, I think, is Brazil versus England. I think Brazil is ranked number one in the world. I think we're ranked number seven, by the way, USA. I'll have to check it out. It's somewhere up there. But and they play England at Wembley on Saturday, so that's a game I'll be tuned into. And then the following week, they'll get back into the domestic league. You know, obviously, I'm a big fan of the English Premier League, so I watch that a lot. And but the players will leave after this weekend's games. There is a massive game on Sunday. It's the last spot for the Copa America tournament. There's a playoff between Honduras and Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how good the level of play is going to be, but that would be a very interesting game to watch because Copa America means a lot of money, first of all, for the nation that makes it. It's the open spot. And, of course, those bordering countries that have massive rivalry, too. So that'll be an interesting one to watch on Sunday. So Saturday it'll be England-Brazil for me. And Sunday, I think it's Saturday night, actually. That's Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday night it'll be Costa Rica and Honduras.
There it is. All right. Well, easy enough, sir. Appreciate the time, as always. We'll see you again next week as we get closer and closer to the month of May, which is when your jesters start going off here as well. But you're going to start training here soon, right? When are open tryouts? When do I need to go try out for goalie, I guess is what I'm asking.
Open tryouts are at Pan American Stadium tomorrow morning, Gus. I will see you there. I'll have a pair of goalkeeper gloves for you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start training next week, getting ready for the season.
What time is that tomorrow?
So if anybody wants to try out for the team, when we say it's open.
Okay.
See you there.
Like, literally, anyone can go try out tomorrow?
Anybody. I'm looking for the best talent there is, and if I think they can make it at this level, then that's what we want to do. We want to get the local players through and give them a platform to try and bounce to the next level. So,
right. Well, what time is it again? I got an Easter egg hunt with the kid. I got an air show to go to, and I'm probably going to try to at least sleep into about 7. So what time do I go try to be a goalie?
9:30. You got to be
9:30.
In the morning. I'll be practicing. I'll be shooting on you. I'd love to see you then.
Yeah, head coach Kenny Farrell. I might, because my tryout may only last 30 seconds. The Easter egg hunt starts at 10 a.m. So I'll be done by 9:32. Thank you so much, coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There he goes.
Thank you.
Sports Hangover continues next with Jeff Bonds on ESPN New Orleans.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Bogs from our sister station, KANE. Sir, have you lost your house? You still got a shirt? Still paying the utilities? How you doing over there, sir? How's your bracket look?
At the mortgage on Colgate. No, I'm kidding. I'm in good shape so far after one day. But we'll see what today brings us.
What was the biggest surprise yesterday for you?
It had to be Kentucky. But, great to see. I've tied to Oakland University. A good buddy of mine played there after in fact, Brian Gregory.
Really?
Former Michigan State assistant coach, most recently head coach at South Florida. But he played with David Robinson at Navy then. Transferred to Oakland University. You may have heard David Robinson continued on at Navy and had a pretty good career in San Antonio.
Okay. One of the things that I look at too here as Northwestern has just defeated Florida Atlantic 77-65. So another win by, I mean, a lower seed, it's a 9-8 matchup there. But I think the thing that really stood out to me is we haven't seen the buzzer beater just yet, right? Some of these games have been close, but we haven't seen the proverbial, you know, at the buzzer bucket go in just yet. You think we're going to see one maybe today?
I don't know about today, but those kind of things certainly happen as you wean out some of these higher seeds and you see some tighter competition. But obviously, yeah. Again, you know, you're 8-9s, your 10-7s, you do expect to see some close games there, and we'll see if it happens today. But certainly the little bit I got to watch yesterday, I was fairly entertained.
Yeah, Baylor 92-67. Those two games are final games currently in action right now at the half. San Diego State 35-29 over UAB. Western Kentucky leading Marquette. This is a 15-2 matchup, Jeff. And Western Kentucky's the 15 seed, 2:10 left in the first half. They lead at 39-33, a whole half of basketball to go. But that's one of those things, too. You're a 2 seed. Lots of people have Marquette going pretty deep where – you know, you realize at that moment you're in a fight, right? And Western Kentucky believes, hey, we came to play, man. That's now it's 40-33, Western Kentucky.
You know, whether it's Western Kentucky, and they're not in the Sun Belt anymore, but I tell you what, that's always been a team that impressed me when I would see them more often as a member of the Sun Belt. And James Madison, that's a team to look out for, too.
Okay. All right, Jeff, let's get into some of the action here as well that we want to get into with ESPN Bet. And let's start with, how about Grambling? The Tigers, man, from up there in North Louisiana, they're playing later on this evening. What do you see in that game for them? It's a tough matchup with Purdue.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the stats, I'm going to go ahead and jump to it right now. The money line on this, the Boilermakers minus 10,000. The Tigers plus 2,500, but again, a $100 bet on the Boilermakers wins you a dollar. So that's the kind of confidence Vegas has in the money line. 26.5 is the point spread, 138.5 the over-under. Hey, the Boilermakers looking to avoid their third first-round exit in 4 years when they do take on number 16 Grambling. Again, you're looking at a team that, like Purdue, why they can cover, maybe the Boilermakers, among the elite teams in the nation in shooting from beyond the arc and on the boards in this campaign, ranking second in both three-point percentage at almost 41% average rebound margin, plus nearly 11. Purdue, they're 14-16-1 against the spread as favorites this season. Tigers are 11-7 against the spread as underdogs away from home. And, of course, everybody's away from home. But, again, tough one to call, but why Grambling might be able to cover. Tiger is victorious in their NCAA tournament debut despite maybe subpar performances by their two top scorers. Get these guys in gear. Kentavious Dozier, 13 points averaging on the season. Senior guard Tremichael Moton, 11.6 points per game. And, again, they were under that the other night, so if they can step up their game, why not see if Grambling can at least cover? I'm not going to pick them to win, especially plus 2,500. But again, let's root for Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's see what takes place here. Tough loss last night for the Pels. As good a news as you can. Brandon Ingram going down. It's a bone contusion. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. At least it's not a tear or season-ending injury. But that said, the guy get back at it today, taking on the Heat. That's a team trying to stay out of the play-in, Jeff. They're seventh, a half game out of sixth. A tough game. How do you see this one?
Well, again, Pels on the road. They are 3.5-point favorites, if I saw that correct. For some reason, I'm starting to doubt that. I want to go back here and make sure. Yeah, they are 3.5-point favorites in this, or underdogs in this one. On the road, the over-under, 209.5. Heat, 38-31, have been trending in the right direction as of late. They entered the game off that 107-104 win over Cleveland. That win allowed them to bounce back from a really ugly loss against Philadelphia, but it also gave them three wins over their four-game road trip. Playing on the road has been quite a strength for the Heat, as well as the Pelicans, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But, you know, you talk about Ingram being out. The Heat are listing Bam Adebayo, his back, is a game-time decision. And also Kevin Love is out, Duncan Robinson is out, Tyler Hero all out, and Josh Richardson, he's out for the season. But the Pels, 15 games over 500, and a lot of that has been on the road. They're experienced the end of their three-game winning streak, as you mentioned, against Orlando last night. And again, Brandon Ingram out. However, the Pelicans still playing well. They enter the game having won 4 of 6. One of the biggest reasons why the Pels have a shot at a top-four seed in the West is their play on the road. 22-14 on the road playing away from the Smoothie King. That being said, the Pels did lose their previous game to the Heat in New Orleans, 106-95. So, again, a couple of reasons to like either team. But, again, the Pels, 3.5-point underdogs on the road today.
We'll be scoreboard watching on a couple of games. 76ers and Lakers go Philly. We'd love Portland to win at home against the Clippers. I don't know, but hey, you could always hope and wish. Pacers at the Warriors will be interesting. That's coming up at 9. Of course, we want Golden State to lose. As much separation as possible, Jeff, we want from that 9 and 10 spot. Houston's coming along there as well, too. They've been playing pretty good, so I'll keep an eye on them. But you want to talk about the Thunder and the Raptors?
Yeah, you know, again, Toronto hosting Oklahoma City tonight. It's one of the early games on the schedule. Toronto 23-46 overall, 13-21 at home. Oklahoma City 48-20 overall, 20-13 on the road. Teams have alternated wins and losses over their last 8 matchups. But again, it's a completely different season for Toronto. Oklahoma City winning in double overtime in their last game, 135-127. That was a little bit more than, say, 6 weeks ago. Raptors 31-38 against the spread, and Thunder 39-28-1 against the spread, which is plus 16.5 for the Raptors. So Raptors coming in as a big underdog, the over-under 230.5. And again, big money line disparity. Raptors plus 1,000, Thunder minus 2,000 on the money line. A couple of things you may want to know. Raptors' recent rough patch got a bit rougher Wednesday after their 8th straight loss. They found themselves 123-89 punched to the gut against Sacramento. The Thunder, they waltzed into their game Wednesday with 2 straight wins, but they left with 3 with a 119-107 win over Utah. The Thunder also just 1-7 against the spread over their last 8 games, despite going 6-2 straight up over that stretch. Raptors 5-12 against the spread in their last 17 games as a home underdog. Thunder 4-2 against the spread in their last 6 games when the spread was between minus 16.5 to minus 13.5, where they are. And the Raptors 13-21 against the spread in their last 34 games at home. Kind of leaning toward the Raptors. Take that 16 plus.
Really? Oh, okay. For the points.
For the points, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, maybe even a win. Whatever. We'll see what takes place here. You got to show up in the NBA and play, especially with that 3-point ball. If one team makes it, maybe one team don't. Pels know all about that. All right, Jeff. College basketball, NBA, and other things as well. ESPN Bet. How can I get involved?
Absolutely. Basketball. Again, so much going on. Women's games too, and we didn't talk about the Lady Tigers, and that's probably my fault, but go Lady Tigers. But all of it's at ESPN Bet, the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. When you sign up, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Again, all your favorite markets, in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. Again, ESPN Bet, download it today. It is a great play. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. And as always, check out the app for all the details.
Jeff, as always, appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Go enjoy the beautiful weather, sir. We'll talk again on Monday and see where the brackets are.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
Yep, take care as well. And that ends hour number 2, brought to you by Chris's Paving. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated, your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the NOLA and Bayou regions. Paving it all, 985-960-2131. If not, just look up Chris's Pavings. The number will be there, the website, all of that here as well. It's real easy. You just say, hey, Siri, then say Chris's Pavings, and boom, it'll pop up. As my phone just did. Sports Hangover continues with hour number 3. Ali Cosell, Marlon Favreau, Leo Haggerty. That's up next on ESPN New Orleans.